Welcome to Heartline. I'm Rita Schulte, a licensed therapist in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area, and I'm passionate about matters of the heart. I want to check the pulse on your heart by taking a look at some of the cutting-edge issues that are affecting you and the people around you, and have you consider, how in the world is all this mess called life affecting your heart? To help stir things up, we're going to be talking to some of the leading professionals in the Christian counseling and literary industry, as well as hosting discussions with real people who are struggling with real life issues. If you want to know a little bit about me, check me out at siftedaswheat.com, where you can ask questions, find out about my book, listen to other podcasts, or request to be a guest on the show. You can also find me on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC, or follow me on Twitter at Heartline Pod. So let's get going on this journey of the heart. Are you in a pit, on a mountaintop, or somewhere in between? Lots of us say, oh, this is just the season of life I'm in, to describe the ups and downs we face. But in his book, The Seasons of God, Dr. Richard Blackaby suggests that it's no accident we find ourselves in the different phases of life, times of joy, sorrow, change, or loss. And just as God has a purpose for the seasons of nature, he also uses the seasons in our lives to grow us. Dr. Blackaby is a well-respected pastor, leader, and author, and has served as the president of Blackaby Ministries International since 2006. The son of renowned pastor and author Henry Blackaby, Richard provides biblical and personal perspectives in each of his best-selling books. Dr. Blackaby, welcome to Heartline.
It's great to be with you.
It was such a privilege to have your dad on the show a few months back, and I'm excited to talk to you about your book, The Seasons of God. Can you start us out by talking about why you wrote the book?
You know, it's kind of an interesting journey for me. I've always been intrigued by the passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that talks about there's a season for everything. There's a time under heaven, or for every purpose under heaven. And I began to look at that, and just God had me on a journey myself, in my own life, where I just began to realize that, you know, I used to think that life always sort of flowed in just a straight line, and you just kept on building and building and building. But I began to realize, just like nature, that there are particular seasons that our life goes through. There's a springtime of beginnings. It's a summertime of labor and work and growth, an autumn time of harvest, and then there's inevitably a wintertime where things begin to shut down and close and maybe even die in some cases. And it sort of revolutionized the way I began to look at my own life and those around me, and so it led me on a wonderful journey to put this book together.
Yeah, and it's no accident. God really has this purpose, doesn't he, for us?
And it's, you know, people know, I've read lots of books where there were different systems, you know, and oftentimes it was just kind of artificial. I mean, they just pull different terms and say, well, sometimes you're going through this, sometimes that. Sometimes the terms might be taken from psychology or other things. But what I found kind of refreshing was we all are familiar with seasons. And in different parts of the world, there's different kinds of seasons, but everybody understands spring or summer or winter, and yet that's just built right into the fabric of nature. We all experience it, and so when you begin to realize, well, we're part of nature, and there's a part of our own life that goes through those same seasons, it resonates with people. It makes sense to us.
Sure. And how can that help us look through a difficult circumstance, do you think, if all that's true, like if we're in winter?
Well, you know, and there are, and winter comes in a number of different ways. It can come in our career. We may have been working somewhere for quite a while, and then we get laid off of our job. Winter comes to that, what we thought was a longer-term career. It can happen in relationships. I'm burdened right now over someone that his wife died just suddenly, unexpectedly, yesterday. And in relationships, sometimes there's suddenly loss. And, you know, there's a number of things that come from that. One thing I would say is that in nature, winter is probably people's least favorite time.
Sure.
It's often more barren. It's cold. It's sometimes uninviting and even hostile. And we kind of want to just get through winter and endure it. But, you know, the wonderful thing about God is that no matter how cold and long and dark winter might be, there's always a new spring that's around the corner. God never consigns us to live in a perpetual winter. And sometimes I think we just need to embrace whatever it is that God has for us in winter, but know that there's another spring that's coming.
Oh, that's great. Absolutely. So it gives us hope then through the difficult circumstances that something else will be birthed. And even through our challenges and trials, you know, through winter, really, even though we don't like it, that's when we really grow. That's when God chisels away all the things that keep us from really seeing Christ.
Well, that's true. And, you know, and if from a farming perspective, if you drive by a field in the winter, it's lying fallow. It's, you know, there might be stubble there. It used to have these tall wheat fields and blowing in the wind, and it was beautiful. And but now you look at this sort of ravaged field that's been plowed back under, and there's nothing there but perhaps snow and blowing wind. And you think, well, God, why would you even do this? I mean, why wouldn't you just immediately go from harvest back to the next springtime? But anyone who's farmed knows that sometimes there has to be a fallow ground. And it's not like nothing is happening there. All kinds of nutrients are being added back to the soil. There's all kinds of just rest, this recalibration, just getting set for the next spring that's coming. And I think too often we rush our winters. We're just so anxious to get out of winter that the things that God wanted to do in that winter season of our life, we don't ever benefit from, because all we could think about was hurrying on to spring. And I've just learned that there is a purpose for every season. And so whatever season you're in, there's no point in longingly looking back to the previous season or anxiously looking ahead to what comes next. But to say, as long as I'm in this winter season, God, whatever it is that you want to accomplish in my life through this season, just I want to embrace that fully and let you do that work completely in me.
Wow, I love that. You know, it reminds me of the seed. You know, it falls into the ground and it has to die. And through that, you know, it's still being watered by the rain or the snow, and all kinds of things are going on in the seed. And that's when, in the spring, it produces that bold and resplendent life that God talks about. And I think you're so right on, because that's that season of winter is the biggest. I know in my own life, you know, that season of winter was the biggest time of growth and maturity. So I think we do need to just accept where we are, because when we don't, we're really fighting the wrong battle, aren't we?
Well, yeah, and of course, you know, if you're sitting there at home saying, I'm not leaving this house until all the snow is gone and winter is past, you know, you can resent a season, you can resist it all you want, but we know from nature that we're not going to hurry it any faster. Regardless of our attitude, it will be there. And so I've learned just embrace it. And, you know, when winter comes, get your sled out, get your skates out, your skis out, just enjoy the season that you're in. And, I find that for too many people, we endure a good part of our life without enjoying it. And mm-hmm. For me personally, I guess I'm just at an age now where I've squandered too much of my life trying to hurry to get to another season than the one I was in. And I look back later and say, you know, I should have savored that season. There were some good things even in that season that God intended for me, but my focus wasn't there. And so I just got through. I had a good friend when I was younger that always kind of held me accountable, and he'd always ask me how my wife and I were doing and our marriage that was younger then. And I remember one time saying, well, hey, you know, we're kind of in a busy time, stressful time right now, but if we can just get through this, I think things will get better. And he'd heard that answer from me enough times that he just looked at me in the eye and said, Richard, you don't get through life. You enjoy life. You embrace life, savor life. But you don't get through it, and I was just trying to get through a lot of my life, and that was just a real helpful word for me to say, even if it's a howling winter, God's still here with me, and if he's present with me, then I've got a complete capacity to experience the joy of the Lord, even in this season that I'm in right now.
I love that, because, you know, we all are at such a frenetic pace today. We really need to slow it down and just embrace where we are and savor it.
And rest.
Yeah,
no,
and rest.
We don't rest enough. I know people that have been laid off their job and they're so stressed about getting the next job that that they don't rest in the Lord. They don't take time perhaps to study His Word more or volunteer at the church or get reacquainted with their family. They're just stressed about what will I do next. And I've had so many people testify to me and they'll say, you know, Richard, right on God's schedule, I did get a job. And they'll look back and say, you know what, if I had to do it over again, there's so much I could have done during that time of rest and that winter season, but I was so anxious for the next springtime that I wasted it. And so I tell people sometimes even just getting spiritual rest, where you just rest in the Lord and just get refreshed by Him, it's okay. You don't have to feel guilty if God has released you from an activity right now, a job or something else. Don't feel guilty about that. God may have just freed you for a time of rest in Him and reorientation before the next assignment comes. And so use that time. And don't feel bad if God's given you a time perhaps even to slow down for a little while.
Yeah, that's really important. I think we look for refreshment in the externals, you know, instead of really looking to God for that refreshment. Like, be quiet. Practice some of the spiritual disciplines like silence and solitude. You know, contemplation, just slow it down with God. Look for your refreshment in Him. And so often our flesh just wants to go elsewhere for that refreshment.
Well, and I think about a farmer perhaps in his house in the wintertime and the snow is blowing, the winds are howling, and he's inside at the fire. And, you know, some are just anxiously looking out at the field saying, when can I get back out there? And others are sitting by the fireplace and saying, I finally have a moment to read a book. I have time to put my feet up and rest because spring is coming and that's going to be a busy planting time. But, you know, God's graciously given me a bit of time of winter here just to catch my breath. So that's a time to celebrate the harvest that came in and anticipate what's ahead, but also just to rest in Him and be restored. And for too many of us, we miss that time in our life. And so we're often just weary people going from one weary assignment to the next, thinking it's all about activity, and no one's ever taught us about resting in the Lord.
Mm. Can you give us a little more of an overview of the other seasons? You know, we've talked a little bit about winter, like autumn, spring, summer.
Well, the way I see the seasons is that I used to think that they happen once in your life. You know, when you were young, you were in spring. When you were old, you're in winter, and the other two came in between. But I began to realize that actually every stage of life we go through, we experience all four seasons. So, you know, when you're born, of course, you're born in spring. Everything is new. Everything is a possibility. But when you go to kindergarten, it's a new spring. You're entering school. When you go to high school or when you go to college, when you get married and start a family, when you retire, it's a new springtime. It's a whole new, you're entering a new stage of life. You were working hard 9 to 5 all that time, but suddenly it's a new spring of retirement where you have a whole new opportunity to reschedule yourself and refocus the investment of your life. So spring is about possibilities, about potential, planting seeds, and you're not sure what all will come from it, but it's a chance to explore. And I actually find a lot of, especially younger people, we race through spring a lot of times. We want to get to summer. Summer, if you think in terms of farming, that's when the crops are growing. You look at a field out in that's growing in the heat of summer, and that's the time of maturing and growth. In a career, that would be when the entry level was spring. You were on probation in spring, but now you've been there a while. You're developing your skills. You're working hard, and you're maturing. I call summer in as a family, that's the minivan years when you're running your kids everywhere and it's busy. It's a lot of work. If spring's about beginnings and summer's about work and growth. And then autumn, of course, is harvest time. And as it says in Galatians, God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. And that's if it's in your family life, that's as your kids grow up, the way your kids are turning out in large part can be a result of the spring investment and the summer work. Now it's autumn time. In your career, often that's when the autumn is typically when you reach the peak of that period of your life. So if you're a high school student, autumn might be when you become captain of the football team or you get the honors program or whatever it is you're doing. If you're parenting, it could be as you're walking your child down the aisle and they're getting married, and you've invested years of hard work in this child, and now the harvest time is that they're a godly young woman or man that's going off into the adult world. And as we've shared about winter, that's when things begin to close. But then there's always another springtime that comes around. And you know, one thing I've discovered, about a year ago, I was in South Carolina, where I live right now, and the summer had really scorched part of my lawn. And so the following spring, I bought some dirt, which bothered me. I'd never paid good money for dirt. I'd been handed dirt before, but they gave me dirt, some seed, and I patched up some barren spots in my yard. Sure enough, a couple of weeks later, all these shoots of grass are coming up. I feel just like this great horticulturalist that I've managed to add grass back to the dirt parts. But I'd missed a few spots, and so I was traveling quite a bit. But several weeks after that, I thought, well, I'm going to take another run at this and really patch this yard up great. And so I did the same thing again, but this time nothing came up. And so I put more dirt, more seed down. I added some water. Tried this several times, and nothing would come up. I was getting frustrated. I thought, have I gotten a different kind of seed here? What's going on? Finally, someone said to me, well, Richard, the problem is it's not spring anymore. It's summer, and it's too hot now for those seeds to germinate. You could put 1,000 seeds out there. It's not going to happen. And my problem was I was trying to do a spring activity in a summer season.
Yeah.
And what I hadn't recognized the season that I was in anymore. And that's why I think this whole book, a lot of what it's about is, you got to know what season you're in to make sure you're doing the right thing. And a lot of people are frustrated because maybe they're in a summer season where they're supposed to be working hard at work, but they already want to be in management. You know, they want more responsibility, but they haven't put the hours of toil and labor in the summertime yet to qualify for management. And so I just tell people, do you understand what season you're in? Then that's going to help you understand how you can be most effective in your life. So if it's a springtime, don't worry about summer yet. Just worry about, look at your possibilities. Look at all the options of your life. Don't be too quick to just make long-term commitments and get into a summertime of labor when maybe you're in a spring season where now's the time to explore and maybe consider things you'd never even thought of doing with your life before. And so get your seasons right, and it'll maximize the quality and experience of your life.
Mm. You talk about 10 laws for these seasons. And let's focus on a couple here. First, our seasons vary in length and intensity and what they require from us. And that's huge.
Yeah, and because not all, for instance, you know, that same spring that I was planting grass seed in my yard, one day I went out and I planted some seed, and it was a beautiful sunny day. The birds were singing. Beautiful spring day. But that very same spring day, a tornado had struck in a different state nearby and killed several hundred people. And I'm thinking to myself, well, which of us experienced spring that day? Well, we both did. Spring can be beautiful sunny days with birds singing, but spring can also bring a tornado. And so spring's not always the same for everybody. And just because the last time you went through a spring season of new beginnings, maybe going to school was a beautiful spring season and full of adventure and new friends, new experiences, but then later you go through a spring of entering your career, and you have a tyrant for a boss, and you've got a colleague that feels threatened by you, and it's a new beginning, but this time it's not so pleasant. That's part of what makes life so interesting, is that even though it's spring, maybe it's, some winters are very fierce and terrible, others are very mild. They can differ in length and intensity, but the fundamentals of what happens in those is still the same. And so that's why I tell people, you may be in a spring season that's very pleasant and sunny and great. Your friend may be in a similar season, but a very different experience for them. And that's why there's always that sense of you got to depend upon God, because you're never quite sure what all will come with each season. And that's why you're going to need Him to help you navigate them.
Well, that brings up the next point. Understanding these seasons requires a strong trust relationship with God.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing with seasons is that, I mean, of course, God could have created the world so that there was just one season, and He could have set the thermostat at a perfect room temperature, a greenhouse. cause effect, and or maybe God could have just created it where there was just always a harvest, and every day you got your combine out and you brought in another crop. We think, well, that'd be wonderful, but the fact is that God built change right into the very fabric of nature. You can't go outside day after day and not experience change, because things will change. And part of our challenge is a lot of us don't like change. We want everything to stay the very same. And the fact is, God has built change right into nature itself. And so the only way that we can navigate change then is to be walking with Him and letting Him help us understand, not to fear change, but to embrace each one as it comes and to get the most out of each one. And I just see too many people that are afraid of things changing. They're afraid of reaching retirement age. They're afraid of the empty nest. And so they hold on to things and they try to keep things the same. And really, when you walk with the Lord, you can trust Him as each season of your life changes. And that gives you a hope, and that gives you a stability where you don't have to be afraid every time something in your life changes. Just stay close to Him. He'll help you know how to get the most out of the next season that He brings you into.
Well, what do you say to people who say, well, that's great, Richard, but I'm in winter and I've been in winter for years and my winter has been a heck of a lot worse than yours. How am I supposed to trust God when the bottom dropped out of my life?
Well, and that's certainly true. And that's why, you know, I shared that some seasons are a lot longer, more intense than others. And for some people, it can be a very long winter. And you know, there's a lot that can be said about that. You know, sometimes it's just true. I mean, they're just, winter can take a long time. I lived for a number of years in Canada, and I'll tell you, when I moved to South Carolina, I discovered winter's not the same for everybody.
Yeah.
For some people, it's very long and bitter and lethal even at times. And other places, I can hardly tell if it is winter because it seems so pleasant out. But and so it's not the same for everybody, and I really want to be sensitive to that. But you know, at the same time, sometimes for us, I think sometimes winter can last longer because we've not really embraced what needed to happen in winter.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes, unlike nature, seasons can be prolonged sometimes because there are certain divine purposes that need to take place, and we've resisted those,
mm-hmm.
and we've refused to accept what's happening, and so we're stuck there because perhaps God brought winter, and He really needs to do a work in our life to humble us, to cause us to depend more upon Him, maybe to get some pride out of our life. Winter is always about things coming to an end, and things even dying. And I realize that, you know, it says the Gospels in Mark, it says that unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it can't bear the fruit that it would have otherwise. And I think sometimes we just don't like anything to die in us.
Yeah.
But the thing about winter is it's a time of pruning. It's a time of clearing out stuff that needs to be removed in us personally as well. And if we resist that, so we want to keep adding stuff to our life, but we don't want God to remove things from our life. But if he doesn't remove some things from our life, there's no room for the new things He wants to add.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes there are things in winter that need to be removed from us, habits, attitudes, unforgiveness, all kinds of things that have cluttered our life up. And now in winter, that's when they get purged and dealt with. And if you hold on to them, if you just say, I refuse to let go of this, then you may stay in winter. And I've known people that, for instance, lost a loved one, maybe a spouse, and they chose to stay in winter. I mean, they lingered on. They couldn't imagine living anymore now that their loved one was gone. So they chose to stay in winter.
Mm-hmm.
They chose to keep grieving. They chose to keep looking to the past and what used to be and grieving their loss rather than looking forward to the new springtime that God had for them. And so, you know, for some people, I would say, you know what? You've had the potential of spring now for some time in your life, but you refused to get out of the mode of winter and to embrace the what God was sending your way. So, you know, for some people, I've known people that grieve for you. Divorce is amazingly painful and agonizing for many people who go through that. But, you know, I knew one woman that her husband of many years divorced her, and it was awful. It was tragic. But I knew this woman 15 years later, and still I mean, if you ran into her, she'd begin the litany of her betrayal and her anger and her unforgiveness. And she was a kind of person nobody wanted to be around because she just lived in that, just kept rehearsing that in her life. And it became a perpetual winter for her. And if she had let God bring healing and restoration in her life, God would have moved her on to a new springtime. Mm. But she chose, by her attitude, by her unforgiveness and her anger, just to permanently camp out in winter. And I know people who've just stayed in winter for years because God wanted to do a fresh new thing in their life, but they really grew comfortable in the dark, cold season of winter, and so they stayed there.
Right. So the way we handle one season profoundly impacts how we experience the seasons that follow. If we don't learn what God has for us, what he wants to do in us, we don't move to another season.
Well, exactly, and that's another one of the just profound truths, mm-hmm. is that each season builds off the next one. So if you don't fully embrace one, then it's going to definitely affect the next one. So, you know, for instance, I know a lot of people that don't want to do the toil and labor of summer. They want to get right into management, and they want to get to the harvest. And so they don't earn that degree. They just want to get out and start earning money. So they skip the work of earning that degree, or going to college, improving their skills. But then, of course, when autumn comes, they don't get put into management because they don't have the proper qualifications or education. And so if you mishandle summer, then you're not going to have a great harvest in autumn. So whatever the season is, if you've never cleared the debris away in winter, then when spring comes, you're going to be congested.
Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk about the book, and I loved it.
Oh, well, I love to hear that.
God bless you to all you put your hands to, and please give your dad a big hug for me.
Well, I'll do it. Well, thank you. It's been great talking with you.
Okay, God bless, Richard. Thanks for joining me today. If you have a question or comment, or you'd like to be a guest on Heartline, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me at siftedaswheat.com, on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC, or Twitter at Heartline Pod. And remember, it's your heart. Keep it alive. Check the pulse.